This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine embarking on an unforgettable journey that combines the excitement of Las Vegas with the electrifying energy of one of the world's largest music festivals. In this episode, join Taryn and I as we take you behind the scenes of our week-long adventure to EDC Las Vegas. From navigating the bustling Vegas Strip to sharing insider travel tips and even a thrilling helicopter ride over the city, we reveal it all. Whether you're a points and miles enthusiast or a festival lover or just want some great travel tips for Vegas, this episode is packed with valuable insights and unforgettable memories. Tune in to hear about the ultimate Vegas experience and how you could elevate your next trip.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome, everybody, to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch, and with me, joining me, is my lovely fiance, player two and travel partner Taryn Gisbert here as well. And we are going to be unpacking our recent week-long trip to Vegas for an event or a festival known as EDC Las Vegas. And this is going to be pretty exciting to unpack and talk about. Quite honestly, wasn't a ton of use of points and things like that. But we are going to unpack some of the travel tips and some of the hacks that we use to elevate our Vegas experience. And so if you're wondering, well, what is EDC? I will say it is an experience. I've been telling Taryn about this for a while. She knew what it was. This was my first time in Vegas. So Taryn, I know you've been, like a dozen times at least.
Like 14.
Yeah. You've been to Vegas a lot. I have actually never been to Vegas. So, friends would always be like, oh, you've been all around the world, but you haven't been to Vegas. So I can finally say I've been to Vegas.
Not just friends. When we first started dating, I'm like, really? You've been to all these countries and you haven't been to Las Vegas?
It wasn't really high on the priority list, and I didn't have someone to go with, so...
We went to Ibiza first, just saying. We made it.
And Ibiza's on a beach, so, I mean, we saw Calvin Harris in Ibiza, like, surrounded by a pool, and the beach was about 10 steps behind us. So, I mean, it kind of beats the desert.
I would agree with you every time, and I'm so happy to hear that you would rather go back to Ibiza than Las Vegas. But I've also been there like literally 15 times to Las Vegas, to be fair, and Ibiza once. So this is not hate against Las Vegas. This is just long appreciated love that has turned into complacency.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And so if you're wondering what EDC Las Vegas is, so a little bit of background, Taryn and I are both music fans or music festival fans, and specifically, I mean, we like a large variety, but we love electronic music. So we have been to, in Ibiza, we saw Calvin Harris. There's a festival in DC that we go to every year since it started called Project Glow. And I have been to EDC in Orlando, but I've never been to Vegas. And Vegas is known to be one of the biggest festivals in the world. And it's not just a music festival. It's more of an experience. It's a cultural phenomenon. I mean, you get 500,000 people in the Vegas Speedway, and it's kind of insane. So if you're looking this episode to be like, to get the knowledge on points and miles, I think we're just going to unpack our travel and our experience and the fun, because what we literally said was we're not getting any younger and we just need to go ahead and check this off the list. Because I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you know, for us, this was kind of a new experience by having a festival where the music sets started, you know, around 7-8 o'clock at night, and they ended at sunrise at like 5 a.m. And that was unreal.
Headliner at 4 a.m. Like, I get it. Like, okay, starting 7-8, not that big of a deal, but your headliner starting at 4:30 a.m, that was a bit of a switch.
It was. And there was like, I think like 10 stages. I mean, neon lights everywhere, great music. I mean, it was utterly incredible. So before we talk about like some of our travel tips, we'll just start with kind of how we got there, right? So I think there are some things to hear just in general from a travel aspect that I think a lot of you listeners would appreciate. And we flew American Airlines. That's where both of us have our status. We're both platinum pros with American. Taryn, actually, you know, you're super great about using the shopping portal. So that's how you got, you know, a lot of your status outside of the travel that we did. I know you did a lot of the shopping portal. I use that a little bit to get my status, but also I put a lot of business expenses, or have put business expenses, on the American Airlines business card, which has helped also. So we both, I think Taryn, you ended up at like 125,000 like 700 miles, and I was like 125,000 like 100 miles. I mean, we both like specifically just hit Platinum Pro and kind of checked that box off.
All I remember is that I beat you.
I know you're competitive on the status.
So I got there first, and I got there with a little more, and you know, to me that's all that matters.
Yeah, you're slightly extra. So because of her like handful of miles more than me, she's always the spot higher than me on the upgrade list. So that's, you know, we actually did not get upgraded on these flights because we flew through Dallas-Fort Worth, which if for those that are chasing American status, I've even been told, even at Executive Platinum, it's almost impossible to get upgraded when you're flying through Dallas. So we kind of already knew that going in. A little bit of a bummer, but status didn't really help so much. But one of the cool things about Platinum Pro, and you get this with Platinum and above, is when you book your tickets, you can actually go ahead and select any seating on the outside of the first class or business class. So we always choose American's main cabin extra or preferred. I forgot what they call it, but basically
preferred. That usually is you want the preferred. That's like the orange one, yeah.
Yeah. So those are orange seats, and the orange seats, you have extra leg room. Of course, we get priority boarding, so we board class, we're the second group to go, but also we still get complimentary drinks as well, or alcohol as well, in that category. So we'll either book closer up on the plane, or we'll book the exit row and get a lot of leg room, which is great. So Dallas was super busy, but that was our opportunity to actually experience the Capital One lounge. And I had actually gone through there and use my Spark card, which gets me 2 visits per year with the Capital One Lounge. But I had a very, very tight turnaround the last time I was flying through Dallas. So I literally ran in. I think I took some pictures. I shoved food down my mouth and had to run to my gate. But we actually had time to settle in and have some drinks. And we actually used Taryn's access, because Taryn has the Capital. I know you have the Capital One Venture X card. Yep. And so that was a really great access. So what were your thoughts, Taryn, on the Capital One Lounge? Because it's very different from what we're used to when it comes to like a Priority Pass lounge or a Centurion lounge. So what did you think about it?
It was my first time at Capital One Lounge, and I had gotten the Venturex card, and I was kind of excited to see, like, what is this going to be? I've been to a lot of Centurion lounges. I feel like I kind of know what to expect. And they had a really different approach, which I thought was really refreshing and cool. They had, like, individual portions that were kept hot and, like, in a, like, a little you know, aluminum pot in, under lighting. So they had like little mac and cheeses, as well as a lot of other, a variety of dishes that were available that you could just take each little one, put it on your tray. And it was, I felt like it was actually like a much higher caliber than most Centurion lounges, although it doesn't apply to all. I thought the food was actually really, really good. And it was a totally different approach on the typical airport lounge experience.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, Dallas was super busy. And so when we got there, we actually had to, like, you had to put your name on a list. And I think they texted you to let you know that it was ready. And so it was a little bit busy. But unlike Centurion lounges and other places that have the buffets and you just kind of grab a plate like a typical buffet and they have all the food out, like you said, right? They have everything individually portioned out. So you really can just kind of grab the portion that you would like. Some things they already had packaged as grab and go. And so if you really just needed to pass through there, grab some stuff and roll, it's super convenient. So unlike Centurion Lounge, that's just the open buffet, which is very nice, but you would be forced to kind of sit and eat everything. There you could grab kind of some snacks. You could grab a few things that they had ready for you. Literally just roll in, you know, grab your food and roll out. So I liked it. It was a really nice lounge, comfortable seating. So it definitely did not make me miss the Centurion Lounge or any other lounges. I'm super happy we got to spend some time in there.
Me too. It was nice. I mean, and obviously we couldn't take the little pots to go with us of mac and cheese, or I would have taken them with me. But it was a really refreshing approach. And from a sanitary aspect, if you are a germaphobe, this is way more friendly because it is literally covered. So you have a completely separate meal that is covered, separate. It's not a whole buffet where people are sneezing on it. I know it doesn't matter to everyone, but for the people that it matters, it matters.
Yeah, it was super nice. And it was also right next to our gate, coincidentally. I think it's close to gate D20 maybe. So the D concourse and DFW, and we were like gate 22, D22 when we flew out. So it was actually really nice. But flying in Vegas, I mean, we got in at 11 p.m. Probably one of the biggest things I was most annoyed at, you know, it was a long travel day night for us getting there. And we finally got to Vegas, and it took forever to get our bags in Vegas. And they said, like, hey, it's going to be at baggage claim 13. And they're like, oh, it's going to be at 15. Oh, just kidding. It's actually at 13. So that was super annoying. But once that happened, we finally got to our hotel, which was the Bellagio.
One hack. Because if you were stuck, it depends on which terminal, which airline you flew. But if you flew American or some of those and you're in the same baggage terminal, at least there is a liquor store that is giving free samples. So if you are stuck waiting for your bag, which I have been to Vegas like 14 times, most of the time I'm there, I am waiting. They changed my gate, they changed my baggage, whatever. But there is always some very friendly people with some new liquor and some new deals. So if you are stuck waiting for baggage and you partake in alcohol, I encourage you to explore the Las Vegas Airport liquor store, which is one of my favorite pastimes of going to Vegas because I hit it up almost every time I'm there. And at least you have something to do while you're waiting for your bags.
And we actually, you know, saved a lot of money because we went ahead and bought a couple things at that liquor store as well, as opposed to getting charged, you know, $30 a cocktail or whatever it is at the hotel. So that was actually a good stop, you know, on your part for sure. So glad we were able to do that and grab some refreshments to go. We ended up getting to the Bellagio super late. And this was actually what was super interesting, right? Because the Bellagio is part of the hotel collection with Amex. So I booked through the Amex portal for this, got the 5X points on the platinum card, got the, so we got the points and through the hotel collection, typically with the hotel collection, you get like $100 credit to use. Well, for the Bellagio, and I think a couple other hotels in Vegas, but for the Bellagio, you actually, instead of getting that $100 credit, we got $30 per person per day for breakfast and a room upgrade, which, you know, not guaranteed, but that's the goal. Well, and the $30 breakfast upgrade, we actually found out later on, pretty much they'll credit that for in a different few different ways, because we technically had like one of our mornings coming back from the festival. We had our breakfast, in quotes, if you're watching this on YouTube, we had breakfast, but we went to one of their lunch venues that opened at 11 a.m. and that was our breakfast. And so we actually, and it was so good. Noodles.
In our full gear.
Yeah, yeah. in our Raven braids, festival gear,
with our bracelets, our candy.
Yeah, with everything. And they credited that. So we got $30 per person credit for that. We got $30 per person credit for when we did in-room dining for breakfast, because we did room service a couple times. So that was great. Now, if you're thinking, oh man, that would easily cover you for breakfast, well, keep in mind, you know, a plate of at breakfast is like $30. Granted, some of those portions were huge. Like one of those,
and a mimosa is 15 at least. At least 15. So
at least, you know, coffee is going to be $7. So, you know, it's not going to make your breakfast free, but it will discount it pretty heavily. But what was super interesting, if you remember, right, so because of the hotel collection, Amex, all that, they're like, oh, we're going to give you a room upgrade. So when we booked the hotel through the collection, hotel collection, we booked in the what's called the spa tower. And so we checked in again. We checked in super late and they said, oh, we've got a room in our, I don't know what it was called, wellness tower or whatever it may be, on our wellness floor. And they're like, oh, you know, we've got this filtered water and air purifiers in the hallways and air purifiers in the room. And our manager approved this upgrade. We were like, awesome. We get to the room and it just doesn't feel like an upgrade, honestly. And so we reached out. I couldn't immediately respond and said, hey, look, I feel like this isn't necessarily an upgrade. Because, for instance, it didn't even have like a bathtub. It was just a shower.
There's no bathtub. There's no bathtub. Yeah.
And be seeing that, I was like, most of the, I knew from the Bellagio and the research we did, most of the rooms kind of have a nice full service bathroom. So they said, hey, everything is actually full. You got to get your room. We'll change your room tomorrow. And said, okay, that's not a problem. So we went ahead and did that. And fun fact, our room that we got upgraded from was more of an upgrade. So I think they actually downgraded us and they kind of fit us in with what they had available, because the room that we actually had in the spa tower was so much more spacious, so much nicer. The bathroom was phenomenal.
It was newer.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a much better experience. So I think it was a case of sales where you want to please the customer and you say, we're going to give you an upgrade, even though it's not an upgrade. And we believed it until, you know, we got our other room back because it didn't really work. And then we're like, oh, dang, this is a good room.
Yeah, no, the new room was super nice. And a tip that I know you actually recommended, you said, hey, let's ask for a mini fridge, right? And we did.
Oh,
and
you want me to tell all my secrets? All of our listeners?
The listeners got to know the Vegas secrets. They got to know.
I'm a Vegas OG. I don't know. Do they deserve these secrets? I mean,
I think they do. They rode with if they're this far in the episode and we started out with electronic music, they got to know the secrets, because they're like, there's got to be something here worthwhile for me, because I'm not an electronic music fan. Or maybe you are. We don't know. But either way, you're riding out this far. We got to get you some knowledge, some nuggets. And Taryn's got the Vegas hack. So Taryn, lay it on them.
Facts. I've got two really big hacks for Vegas, because this is somewhere that the corporate company I used to work for used to take us every other year. So I had a lot of practice. One of the first things you need to know, and this is not just Vegas, this is anywhere, just more important in Vegas, is that you can always request a refrigerator, because otherwise in Vegas you have a tamper-proof. It's kind of like one of those spy movies where people are heist movies where they're trying to like take something off of the plate, but it's pressure weighted because that is how the refrigerators work in Las Vegas. So if you even touch it, they're going to charge you money. But if you can ask for that additional refrigerator, boom, you can have water, you can have whatever, you can use it however you like. And if you actually are like diabetic, you can use it for your insulin. I'm sure you already know about that, but either way, it is something that they legally have to require.
And then I know you also have a way about getting around paying $5 per water bottle. What's the secret there?
Okay, well, this one took me a little bit longer to figure out, but once I did, it has become one of my favorite Vegas hacks, especially because the water in Vegas tastes chalky. It's like bad. It's not good. You cannot drink it. I'm from New York. I love tap water there. You cannot do that with Vegas water. And they are charging at minimum $4 for a standard Dasani. And if you want a smart water, you're talking like $10, $15. And that's per water. And you're in the desert, you're drinking, you're dehydrated. So the best hack that I have found, and I have been practicing for over a decade and a half, is buy a Brita, a new one, a pitcher. Don't open it. Leave it in its packaging. When you get there, you open it, you fill it up. You have fresh water the whole time. And if you used my fridge hack, you have cold water as well as fresh water. So I am saving you. I mean, it depends on how much water you drink per day. I drink more water than you do, for example. So like my water consumption value would be higher than yours. However, assuming that you're going to drink a couple of, you know, waters per day, it's going to probably cost you at least $20 in bottled water because there is no cheaper option. And if you buy a Brita, it's like $25 one time and it will last you beyond a week, which I also think is longer than you should probably be in Vegas.
Yeah, we were there for longer than I think anyone's ever told me to go to Vegas, but we needed time to get there. Time for the festival, which was 3 full days that, again, starts, it's like 7, 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. And then it takes time to get back, which we'll talk about. And we need recovery time as well. So that's the whole reason for the full week. But yes, that's something to factor in, is like, how long are you actually going to be there? But yes, you can save money on by having the Brita filter, like you said, and not having to necessarily pay for bottled water.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As well as taking advantage of your neighborhood, aka airport liquor store, which we are not sponsored by, but we should be.
And so moving on, I know the other thing that we did is we actually used, and Tom Marsden in his episode back early on, he talked about his parents oftentimes went through timeshare presentations and was just really good at saying no and getting a lot of really cool things for free. And we actually did that ourselves. Now, we actually didn't go there with the plan of this happening. It actually happened to be the day that we were switching rooms. So literally our first full day there. And they basically actually said, hey, we'll have a room ready for you probably around 12 to after 12, but before check-in time. And they said, hey, you don't have to check out. We'll wait until our room's ready, and then you can just move your bags. The bellboy will move everything into the new room, which is super cool. So we went out and wanted to do a little bit of exploring and walking. And quite literally, as we got to the bottom of the Bellagio fountains, guy approaches us and says, hey, basically, I can get you X, Y, and Z. And both of us sniffed it out immediately. It was like, is this a time prep share presentation? He said yes. And so the guys there, they were super cool. They basically wanted to take our information. But at the same time, I just said, hey, you know, I'm not going to provide my real phone number because I don't want to get a ton of spam. Don't want to get a ton of emails, all those different things for this. And they were super cool with it. I know their goal is to get bodies in the door. And so we went in knowing that, hey, we're going to say no. And we told those guys, hey, we're going to say no. We're not going to do this. We travel a lot. We don't need them. They said, hey, it's cool. You can tell them no as much as you want. You don't have to buy anything. All you have to do is show up to get the free stuff. And so that's what we did.
I mean, I was just trying to go to Sephora because I forgot my makeup setting spray. So that is how it all started. And then this man stopped us. And I mean, he offered some things that we were like, well, I mean, I think we got time. Yeah, we can do this. I mean, we're pretty good at saying no. We know what we like. So it was a easy opportunity, and it was not my first timeshare presentation in Las Vegas. It was my second, and it is very lucrative. And as long as you are comfortable saying no, unless you're in the market, if you're in the market, by all means, explore it. But if it's something you're not interested in that you want to capitalize on, there is a lot that they are willing to offer you. And it's definitely something that if you are able to say no, if you have to say no, that you should explore.
Oh, for sure. And the way I looked at it was like the value for our own time. Cause I think he threw out like, hey, we'll get you lunch for two here. And I was like, man, that's not worth us dealing with high pressure sales for an hour. Right. And he said, well, but we'll add this. I was like, that's still not enough. And eventually it got to the point where I was like, okay, that's enough value for our time. And so we ended up getting lunch for two at a Brazilian kind of steakhouse buffet. Yeah, which was the food actually was really good there. But we had two comedy club tickets where we only had to buy a drink, and so it was $12 was the cost to get a drink there per person. And then we had a 3-day, 2-night stay somewhere we can book through them, which we haven't really used. And then they also gave us $200 of promotional value for slots, which we hunted down and went to use those and completely found out that was the one part that's like basically a scam because like it was a complete waste of time.
Yes. But they also gave us a $100 Visa gift card, which you forgot to mention, which to use anywhere. So skip the promotional slots because it is just read it. There's a sign right on the front. And it's like, doesn't matter what you win, unless you win $3,000, you're not getting anything is basically what it says. And then when you sit down, like you're stuck playing until you have no money, which will take a very long time. That part.
the promotional slots were completely worthless. It was like $200 and you had to turn it into $4,000 or $5,000 to get the value of $100 back out. And actually when I started playing, like I got up to like $1,500 from the $200. And then it was wasting so much time that we both just said, you know what, let's just scrap this because like it just was so not worth it. But again, $100 Visa gift card, lunch for two, comedy clubs, we get a 3-day, 2-night stay, all of that. And actually the presentation and the sales piece it wasn't actually that bad because once we finally got to the point where they were like, hey, so do you want to do this? We literally just said, hey, we do a lot of work with points and miles. We have a travel Instagram. We have a travel podcast. We do all these different things. And they eventually said, yeah, like we get it. You're not going to be our typical client. And they just let us go. So we didn't actually have to spend almost any time in the high sales, high pressure side.
Who said that?
That was all you. That was all you.
I had the exit strategy. I'm sorry. Obviously, this all is mostly from him. But yes, I was aware. And that is the most important part. If you are going to partake in a timeshare presentation, know your out. Know the way that you are going to get out of it unless you are actually shopping because that is very important. And that's the only reason I'm bringing it up.
Hey, it's DeAndre here, and we're going to interrupt this episode real quick to tell you about two great opportunities for all of you. First, join our private Facebook community to connect with fellow points and miles enthusiasts, get exclusive tips and updates, as well as get your questions answered directly by me and others in the community. And if you're looking to level up your points and miles skills, we've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you 50% off their online course that will teach you all the basics you need to know to learn how to travel in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. Don't forget to use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout. You'll find all the details and links to both of these in the show notes. Now, let's get back to our episode. So that was all kind of day one. And then we got into our new room. Love that. We ended up, I know you wanted to experience Vanderpump Paris, which is in the Paris Hotel. And so we had tapas, and we met one of your friends there. Had some great food, great drinks. I mean, overall, I know you love the Vanderpump brand itself. So what did you think of it?
Okay, Lisa Vanderpump, in my mind, has such a visionary eye for decor, as well as for drama, which is why she's successful with reality TV, real estate, hotels, restaurants, as well as decor. But I was in awe of the decor, and it was beautiful. I've never been. I'm an East Coast girl, and I'm a Vanderpump fan. So, I really wanted to get to see it without going all the way to Sur, and I thought it was gorgeous. So that was something that I was very excited to experience. And the goat cheese cakes, yes, not balls. They are cakes now. They've upgraded. So it was pretty cool.
I will say that about my first Vegas experience, that pretty much everywhere we went, the food was top notch. It was expensive, but the food was top notch. The drinks were great. The atmosphere was really, really well done. So I see the appeal. I honestly think we can get a lot of similar appeal outside of the gambling, like going down to Miami or other places on the East Coast. But I do see the appeal. Vegas was really nice. It was a really great time, and the food there, and like you said, the kind of the Vanderpump, that was obviously my first time in a Vanderpump restaurant as well. I thought it was great.
Even though I've made you watch the show, so don't pretend you don't know who she is.
So moving on. So let's talk about
plug for Lisa EDC. Vanderpump. Please follow us.
So EDC itself. So transportation wise, right? So if you actually happen to catch, you have interest and you want to do EDC Las Vegas yourself, let's say you are a big electronic music fan or music festival fan, I will say it is a lifetime experience. It's something that you should absolutely put on your to-do list because it is an absolute experience. However, getting there is an absolute nightmare unless you are camping there, you have an RV, which that's a whole other thing we don't have time to get into. Us staying on the Strip was a whole other experience, and we even had shuttle passes, and we went, so we went all three methods of transportation instead of walking and camping.
We did it all.
We did it all. So day one, we decided to go ahead and use the shuttles, and that ended up being a very long line to get on the shuttles. And then, of course, even though shuttles had their own back routes to get to the Speedway, it ended up taking about 2.5 hours to get there. So we ended up missing a couple of those early acts that we wanted to see. And now early is relative because early was still 9:10 p.m., but ended up missing those because we got there later than we wanted to. So day two, we were like, you know what? We're going to Uber there. Took an Uber there. It still took 2 hours to get there because although by the time we got down the interstate, it was just a stop and go line, just a couple miles outside of the Speedway. Because again, there's 500,000 people going into this festival. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I could never, I am telling you, this festival will change your life from the standpoint of it's an incredible experience. It's not what you might think. You're like, oh my God, it's so packed. Everyone's pushing. Everyone's mean. Everyone. The attitude and the mentality is so different from almost anywhere else I would say you'd experience outside of another festival, because people are just genuinely happy to be there. People are excited. People are nice. If someone brushes by you, they say, excuse me. It is not as crazy as it sounds. And it's just a really, really cool environment. So
good vibes only.
Good vibes only. Peace, love, and good vibes and all the things they say.
Day three, I was like, I'm done with this. We've tried both ways. We got our passes and we didn't, and it was still 2.5 hours. We took an Uber, a private Uber, and that still took us over 2 hours. And I was like, you know what? I'm not sure why we shouldn't just, you know, take a private helicopter to EDC. And frankly, it was one of the best decisions I think I've made. Because it was insane. We got there in like 15 minutes. And it was sunset. It was gorgeous. We have these shots of Vegas and the Strip that I have never seen, you know, perspectives of the Strip I've never seen. And I've been there again like 14, 15 times. So being able to see it from a helicopter point of view, and being able to watch the sunset or whatever time frame works for you, and you get there in like 15 minutes versus 2.5 hours. Yes, not a hack. This is, I used real money. So I'm not going to affront and pretend that this is something that you can do for free, because you definitely can't. But if you are, I'll say an elder millennial like me, I won't even put you into this, DeAndre. it was a very tempting and something that if I ever went back, I couldn't imagine not doing it like that, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolutely incredible experience. Basically, the same company that does helicopter tours of the Grand Canyon, they have a chain, so one after another after another after another of helicopters that fly into land at the Vegas Speedway and then go back into the Strip. So we took it on the one way there. I mean, we flew over the Sphere. I mean, we had great views. And so big shout out to Taryn, because she made that happen. And that was super exciting. So overall, I mean, the EDC experience was great. We saw a lot of great acts that we wanted to see, a lot of amazing artists, the lighting, the shows, the sounds. I promise you, if you've never been to an electronic festival, the stage setups, everything will just completely blow your mind. It's a really cool experience. And most of the days, actually, we got back while it was still dark, got in our beds and passed out. But the final day,
because we're old.
For the record, because we're old.
We were planning. We wanted to make it to the end.
We did. It was a marathon, not a sprint. And the final day, we ended up staying and actually watched the sunrise for the last act, which was one of Taryn's favorite artists, which was Timmy Trumpet. Yeah, Timmy Trumpet, and it was an incredible end. So we actually have this whole the whole series of events in on the Boldly Go Instagram. You can see the highlights of EDC Las Vegas. We got back. I think I passed out on the shuttle, woke up. We ended up taking a rickshaw back to the Bellagio. It was a whole experience. And the crazy thing is we rolled into the Bellagio. We look like both of us just got puked out by a unicorn, right? Because we're all in like the most colorful outfits you can possibly imagine. and we're rolling in. We just roll right into their main breakfast and brunch area. I forgot the name of the restaurant. But we go in.
It was fancy. It's not casual.
Not at all. And there's an entire retail convention that's happening. So 95% of the restaurant is full of men and women in like suits and ties and business clothes. Like they're starting their day about to go to a 9 a.m. session about whatever you talk about at a retail conference. And we're rolling in there in all sorts of colors of the rainbow. When I say colors of the rainbow, you have to watch the stories, because we literally look like the colors of the rainbow. And we get there. And the really cool thing is you see like all the people in the crowd, and the crowd are the restaurant goers, are looking at us like, what the heck? But the staff of the hotel were like, oh, you went to EDC? Like, we need to get y'all a table because y'all need sleep. And the manager... the manager of the restaurant came up and talked to us about how like his girlfriend helps put it on and he loves to go. And he actually went the night before. Of course, he had to go home early, but like he talked about how much he loved it. And basically they made sure that we got seated so quickly. And I shout out to the Bellagio because they did an amazing job. And like their staff really just appreciated that we were there. And it was really awesome.
Honestly, you're right. I want to give a shout out to them as well, because actually I've been to Vegas like 14, 15 times and I have never stayed at the Bellagio until now. And I loved how much they hyped and created normalcy around our hungover breakfast in our total gear while there was a convention of other people having a very fancy breakfast, wearing ties, wearing suits. And I think the funniest part for me was that on the side, the people at the conference were like, man, how was it? I wanted to come, but I couldn't because of this conference. And then you're like, all right, the EDM runs deep. And
yeah, there are a couple people that they're like, yeah, like I wanted to come a day early so I could go at least one day, but I got the wife and kids at home, so I couldn't, but I really wanted to go. So I promise you for the listeners out there, like you got to experience it.
So supported in a situation that a lot of women would be like, oh no, that's, you know, like not what you want to be doing the next day. But I promise you, we had more respect and appreciation because it's very integral to the business of Vegas. EDC is huge. It's a 500,000 plus festival.
Yeah, one of the largest festivals in the world.
Exactly. And like they're very aware of the impact to their economy. And I love that even the maitre d's and waiters are so appreciative of that. And so welcoming. And then it was so cool to have other people that I thought were going to judge us be like, dang, I wish I could have been there. Felt nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so that was basically Monday morning. So the last day of Vegas, EDC Vegas, was Sunday. And essentially we got back to our room Monday. And so essentially that Monday evening, we ended up walking around after we recovered a little bit, walked around, we went to the Strat, which is the hotel that has the tower that looks almost like the Space Needle in Seattle. So the Stratosphere, the Strat Hotel. We had dinner on top of the world. So there's like an oscillating restaurant up there, which is really cool. It had really great views of the city. Highly recommend to do during like sunset, which was really nice. And we actually got to use those comedy club tickets that we got during the timeshare presentation and at their comedy club, which was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got hooked up. I mean, we ended up having and I had never been to the Strat before, as you know. So that was actually a new experience for me and a totally different perspective on the entire strip, the city, and just on everything that Vegas encompasses, which it's a very different experience than other places. And if you haven't experienced it, it's probably something you should look into.
For sure. We had one day left after that, and that we spent doing a few different things. We actually took a tram from the Bellagio to the Aria, which we actually didn't know existed, but there was signs, and I think our taxi driver, our Uber that took us to the helicopter, was the one that told us about it. and so there's like a tram behind the Bellagio that connects to the Aria and somewhere else. And so we went to the Aria, had some drinks there. We went to the Pampas, that was the Brazilian steakhouse you referenced, that we got for free for lunch, which was great. It was really good. The really cool experience was you had set up the Sphere for us. So why don't you talk about like the Sphere experience? Because I thought that was really, really cool. It is incredible to see from the outside, and it's arguably more incredible to see inside.
Yeah, I mean, the Sphere was not there before this last time that I was in Vegas with you. So it was something that I was like, well, we can't pass up on this, especially because of the magnitude of what is offering, and they have a general sort of offering in case you're not into the Grateful Dead or whoever it is who's touring at the time, and you can still experience the entire like 360 views and the smells, and it was a very immersive experience, which I really enjoyed. I knew I would enjoy it, but it was definitely something that I haven't experienced anywhere else.
Yeah, so without ruining exactly what it is, just so you're aware, in the Sphere, you have the visuals, right? In this ginormous dome, you get the effect of wind, and they have the ability to pump smell into it as well. So if you're in Vegas, I would say it is worthwhile to shell out a few dollars for the Sphere experience. Again, you don't have to be going to, I think it's been, like you said, the Grateful Dead or a U2 concert. It's been a few different types. You might not be into those, and I'm sure those are really incredible experiences as well. But just getting to sit and kind of getting, watching an hour or however long it was, IMAX type movie was really, really cool. So I would highly recommend, and I thought that was a really great add-on to kind of wrap up our trip, because after that, we ended up working our way back to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the majority of our trip. We did end up, once we got to the airport, we stayed in the Centurion Lounge. Not stayed in, but we went to the Centurion Lounge. Found out that the Vegas Centurion Lounge actually, just a few days before we got there, broke the record for the most number of attendees in a single day for both regular attendees and Centurion card holders, which is the black card. And I actually kind of learned that day, which I had, if you've ever walked into a Centurion Lounge and you see that there's all those, the tables or the placard that say reserved, I never really thought about who it was reserved for, quite honestly. And I was always wondering, like, can you call ahead and like reserve seating for the Centurion Lounge? Never really thought about it. I knew if you had the black card, you can skip the line. But what I didn't know is that they have the reserve seating for the black card holders as well. Now that's on a whole other level of or game when it comes to the points and miles, not even points and miles, just credit card game in general. I mean, you have to be spending a lot of money in very wealthy areas. So you're spending money on private yachts, private planes, those type of things. By the hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars a year to get invited to be on the black card. So that's a whole other level. But it was really interesting. There was a guy that while we were waiting in line, which we waited for like 5 or 10 minutes to get in, but he was explaining kind of how it was a little bit more full with Centurion guests and kind of the requirements to get in. So it was a phenomenal experience. We stopped there for Centurion Lounge. It was a red eye out. We got home at like 8 a.m. the following morning. So I know it was a long trip back, but overall, Taryn, I had a blast in Vegas. It was great. EDC Las Vegas was a lifetime experience. I'll say once in a lifetime because it was phenomenal. I'm super happy that we did it. I'm extremely excited to do a festival in some other part of the country, like Tomorrowland, something in Belgium. Like Vegas was great, but I would say if it wasn't for the craziest of logistics to get there, I would be down to do it again, but it was a lot. So I'm excited to do another festival somewhere else in the world with you.
I completely agree. And I mean, I'd been to Vegas many times. I was so happy to be the one to bring you into it and introduce you to Vegas, even though it is definitely not somewhere I represent, but it is somewhere I have been very often. And I had an amazing time, but I am so happy that we are not going to go every year just because we are old. Yes, Vegas. Like, I'm not afraid to say, okay, fine. I'll say I'm old, DeAndre. Like, I'm not even going to put you into this. Like, I am too old unless I've got
There's
helicopter.
There's only a couple of years difference. It's not that you're not old. You're
okay,
not old
but today. Unless I have helicopter service every day of EDC, I'm not sure I can make it through another EDC when the headliner starts at 4:30 in the morning.
And as our slash your financial advisor, I don't know if that's in the budget. So we might gotta, that's why we gotta pivot elsewhere.
Exactly. And this is why, you know, I pay you. So don't steer me wrong. This is a fine line. Honestly, this probably should be the main point of our podcast, is our disagreements on financial things with him as my advisor and fiance, because it could be its own show. I think it
100% could be. So before we wrap this one up, any final thoughts that you happen to have? I know we've shared a lot of really, really good stuff already, and we thank the listeners that stuck it through us this long, because if you came here, I know, looking for points and miles, we didn't talk too much about that. We talked about the Vegas experience, and that's the beauty of our podcast, right? We talk about travel, we talk about different types of travel, different people who are doing travels, and we want to share with you our own travel stories and how we use the knowledge that we do have to make our own travel experiences better. So, babe, any last or any final thoughts that you have yourself?
Yeah. One of the biggest things, especially if you're going to Vegas, is look up the resort casino and sign up to the rewards program. Create a profile before you go. This way you can earn points, because as you gamble, you earn points with their rewards programs. Whether we were in an MGM property, we're not sponsored by MGM. It's just an example. But once you have the card, you earn more points as you gamble, if you're a gambler. And actually, you earn more points if you are booking your stay, et cetera, et cetera. So just like everything that we discussed, like, do your research. And if you are a gambler, know where you want to gamble. And there are only high-end tables at the Bellagio. So, you know, something to look into.
Awesome. Well, for the listeners out there, if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on social media, all the channels, Instagram, everything as well. We love feedback as well. So if you have questions, you want to know more about our travels, our own experiences, or our tips and tricks, feel free to reach out to us directly. Shoot us a DM, shoot us an email, support@boldlygo.world, whatever it may be. We are happy to help. And as always, don't forget to like, subscribe, and honestly, if you can, take a second, take 5 seconds just to put a 5-star rating and leave a review for our show as well, if it's added value for you and added value in your day and in your week. And as always, we will see you on the next episode. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.